Okay, we are here. I'm here.
Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone. Hello, I'm Kay Thompson, and this is Kay Thompson Live. Hello to you. We have a lot on the plate tonight for the show. It used to be the Kay and Gus show, Wayne Gilman.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's M. Byron Saunders. You know, Gus passed October 15th.
I still think his spirit is
still
with us.
It is. Yeah. It makes me laugh.
Right.
Really
good
does.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So it's been a rough time, you know, because of my sister and then
I. Yeah, I tell you. You know, it's amazing what you've gone through.
Yeah, it's
you know, but I'm glad you're still here.
Yeah, yeah. Back to normal.
Right.
Watch out.
The new normal.
The new normal. The new normal. Now, where did I hear that, the new normal? There's a movie. Is that the new normal or a show? The new NeNe Leakes is in the new normal.
Who?
NeNe Leakes from Atlanta Housewives.
Oh, okay.
You don't watch the Housewives?
No. I think anybody from Atlanta, including my ex, is a little off anyway.
See, is he in trouble?
He might be in trouble.
Because
if Atlanta is listening,
they
I said
are listening.
That.
I'm right, telling you, I have friends down there on Black Talk Radio down there.
Do you? Okay,
and I conversed with the guy who is. Something down there. As a matter of fact, they were talking about the brutality of the police department around the country. Those numbers are going up.
They are indeed.
Okay, and the numbers of police shootings of blacks and Latinos, numbers going up.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that we have to be very concerned about. But just let me tell you what we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking to former Assemblyman Bill Payne,
mm-hmm.
William Payne, the brother of Donald Payne, and he is going to be talking about the give us an update on the Amistad legislation. Now, he'll tell you all about what that legislation is, but basically it says for the state of New Jersey that African-American history, black history, must be taught. And, you know, some parents have said, well, you know, no, it's not being in our school, da-da-da-da-da. Some teachers don't want to do it. Some people do want to do it and all that kind of stuff. So we want to find out some updates from him.
You know, we study so much of everyone else.
He's
going to
be calling in, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to that because, like, you know, now that I've gotten into the world
education,
business,
right?
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. it's amazing what these kids don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's amazing what they do know.
Well, what they do know, I can only speak from, I'm in a charter school in one of the most impoverished communities in the country,
mm-hmm.
in the South Bronx. And the thing is that I am getting young kids between the ages of 4 and 9, you know.
That you're getting the elementary and junior high, which are middle school. That's the worst time.
Because they're
sweet kids, but they are really raises.
Yeah, but
junior
but,
high school kids. Look, I taught middle school kids.
Okay.
I wanted to ring a lot of names.
Okay, I've gone.
And
I
love them. I was crazy about them,
But I've gone in other areas, in affluent areas, and I haven't seen this kind of behavior.
Do you
before.
See what this child is doing to this right here? She's
shaking. Yeah, she's trying to
board.
Get our attention.
Yes, and I know we have a
call.
Yeah,
the girl that used to do gymnastics
Let's go.
With the engineers.
We're going to go for the first caller. Hello, you're on the air. Kay Thompson Live here with Byron Saunders and Wayne Gilman. Wayne Gilman is the former news director from WLIB-BLS, where I started out. Oh, I didn't
started
start
out.
Out. No, I didn't
around.
Start out. What?
I read your bio, young lady.
You could not have. But we're waiting for Bill Payne to call in.
Oh, I thought
yeah,
that's
Bill Payne. Hello.
We didn't recognize that number that you gave me. Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are
good. You? Good. Byron Saunders.
Wayne, how are you?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Excuse me. Good evening. How you doing?
He just came from
been
teaching. That's what got this all mixed up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So who's on with us?
Wayne Gilman, former news director from WLIBBLS, a friend of mine when I was there. And Byron Saunders, who is the host of Byron Saunders. Oh, what's the name of your show?
The BCS Experience.
The BCS, and that is the Byron Saunders.
Byron C. Saunders.
Experience. And he is a historian and a broadcaster and a writer, et cetera, et cetera. I don't like these people who are so talented, you know?
Well, he's where I want to be.
You might when we grow up, right?
Because I don't have to work anymore, you know?
Okay.
Okay. Assemblyman, listen, you were the author of the Amistad legislation. You got it passed in the state of New Jersey. What's the update? First of all, tell us as briefly as you can, because we have a lot to go over with you, what the Amistad legislation says and update us. What's going on with it?
Well, surely. The Amstutz legislation that created curriculum in the state of New Jersey, social studies curriculum, which is curriculum that teaches the contributions of African Americans that made to the development of this country. What Amistad curriculum does is infuses into the history of the United States, social studies of the United States, the main curriculum. It infuses into the appropriate places in our history the role that African Americans have played throughout the development of this country. As it stands now, in most cases, the contributions of African Americans are in a kind of a separate silo, taught primarily in February and taught primarily in black schools. My contention is, and the truth of the matter is that the role that African Americans played, the history of African Americans, is U.S. history, and you cannot teach the history of this country and leave out the integral contributions that we made. And it's not just for black students, but it's for all students. It's not just for black districts, but it's for all districts. And all youngsters, black and white, need to know of the role that African Americans have played in the development of this country from the very, very beginning, including the Revolutionary War, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so
that's what it's about.
Can you hold just a second? We have Ann Alexander, I think, is on the phone. She is joining us in this conversation. Ann is an extraordinary teacher.
Good evening, Assemblyman Payne and Kay. How are you?
Evening, Ann. How are
fine.
You? The mediator.
I'm fine. I was just listening to what you said, Assemblyman Payne, but I was wondering, this is now 2013, and it's been 11 years since the Amistad legislation became law. That was in 2002. So has there been any noticeable difference in the textbooks used on how African American history has been presented?
No, there has not been. No, I am disappointed in the fact that the Amistad curriculum is not being implemented throughout the state of New Jersey as it should be. No, but what has happened is that there have been throughout the state of New Jersey, we have gone through various school districts. You know, there's 616 school districts in the state of New Jersey. However, we have had inquiries from 376 of those districts who have logged on to the Amistad curriculum, who have logged on for the web-based curriculum that we have. So we do have 376.
Did you say? How many?
376 districts.
Wow. Okay. Is that good?
The total number of districts in the state of New Jersey, 616 districts, independent. Some have no students, some have some students, but there's in excess of 600 different districts, all of them autonomous, all of them independent. They don't buy centrally. They can buy their own books, et cetera, which is one of the problems.
Yeah, so that means that the state is not doing the state of New Jersey is not doing anything to bring the districts in compliance. Is that what you're saying? If so many districts are not using it and they're just asking about it, and this is 11 years since it's been, you know, made into law?
Bill, are you there? Hello, did we lose that call? But anyway, what was that?
No,
while we're getting
very,
Bill back, you know.
Question,
yeah.
You know, the educator had asked, because considering what is going on with the administration on this side, you know, Governor Christie, who gave the state address, and basically focused on the devastation that has occurred as a result of Hurricane Sandy. Mm-hmm. But there's so many other issues that are going on. You would like to think that at this stage of the game, especially since he boasts of a very close relationship with President Obama, that he would actually use this as something to cite. Well, look what we're doing in the state. And it should be something that should be implemented across the country. I'm from New York. We don't have it there.
Yeah. Well, you know, Wayne and the educator, I think one of the biggest...
Ann Alexander.
Thank you, Ann.
Hi.
One of the biggest problems is that we're still depending upon buying our history books from the Texas book
depository.
I see.
And they marginalize our history to a paragraph. And unfortunately, what we are getting in our school systems and broad-based curriculums is that they're the same pantheon of black and black heroes and sheroes,
yeah,
that are the same ones every day. Now, my show is dedicated, as you know, to doing black
exactly.
history.
Exactly, yeah.
For the next 4 weeks, I'm going to make sure I'm giving history of, and I pull from the African American registry everything, historical moments that are not being seen in any of our books. We have got to change the flow of
right.
how the history is coming to us.
Mm-hmm. Good, great points, and I'm so glad you see that. Every time I get to you, it's just on time. Bill Payne is back on the air also, so Ann, you're on the air. Fellow educator,
yes.
Andrew from New Jersey, and Bill Payne, former legislator of New Jersey legislation, you know, who wrote the, author of the Amistad legislation. And so Wayne is a news director, and
yes.
you,
yes.
former news director, but with all the information that you have about education, all the stories that we used to do,
right.
still doing, and Byron, your show, just happens to be
about history.
About history.
Right.
Why is it that I always snag you at the right time?
It's divine ordinance.
Well, I think it's something that's very important.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pity that, I mean, we no longer have the venue.
Yeah, Bill Payne is back.
As
anyway.
A result of terrestrial radio
yeah.
to promote something that Byron's,
that Byron's
doing,
doing right.
basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, based on what I'm seeing now, and again, I'm a novice at this, I'm probably nowhere near what Miss Alexander's gone through in terms mm-hmm. of educational experience. But these kids, especially the ones I have in the South Bronx, they're lost. Lost with a capital L.
Yeah.
They can't. It is frustrating.
Yeah.
You try to teach them to read. And I really think that the grade level has little to do with it, Kay. I've gone into other areas. I happen to reside in the Rochelle in Westchester. You know, people pay good money to send their kids to school there. I don't see where there's a lack of concentration. And certainly this sort of curriculum should be offered up there.
Yeah, but maybe they have a lot of things to distract them to, too, in the bigger city, too.
Well, like what? I mean, we all grew up in a big city.
Come on, like
city.
What? Yeah.
What?
I understand that.
But, I mean, the deal is I think you have to look past that. I grew up in the halls of Bedford Stuyvesant.
And look how you turned out.
Thank you. Well, I prove myself.
I think one of the things that Bill's legislation does is help to create not only the standards for teaching African American history, but providing a basic roots. It's like a man without roots is a person who has no history.
Exactly.
And these kids are walking around, don't know the richness of their history
mm-hmm.
or their ancestors. And if we give them the opportunity just to understand even the basic rudimentary pieces,
mm-hmm.
it's like a piece that I read this morning. This evening on my show, I had two educators on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of them who teaches history, had even heard of the story of the first African child born into this country in 1604,
uh-huh.
and recorded was not a slave. Okay,
yeah, but,
William Tucker. That name should be in every book in every school across this country.
Go ahead, Bill.
Why isn't it? The reason is, of course, is because this Eurocentric curriculum that we have, as long as the textbooks and curriculum have been written from a Eurocentric perspective, there will never be taught, unless there's a great deal of pressure brought by those people who are truly educators, black or white, and then by the black community. Let me just give examples, for instance. Revolutionary War, we learned about Nathan Hale, Patrick Henry, Paul Revere, all of those people, but we never learned about Peter Salem, for instance, and the Battle of Bunker Hill. I think all of us heard about the battle, were taught about the Battle of Bunker Hill, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we were never, ever taught that at that battle, the person or the brigade that killed Major Pitcairn and his redcoats was a black man by the name of Peter Salem.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that killed Major Pitcairn. Now, the interesting thing about it, we have been taught about Major Pitcairn, who was a British redcoat. We were never taught that at that battle, the people that fought him and killed him were black. You would not think that blacks participated at all in these wars. And what Amistad does, it says, okay, fine, you want to teach about the Battle of Bunker Hill? then you will, of course, have to teach about the truth of it, which tells you that we were there too. They tell us about Christopher Maddox. They throw him at us because he was involved 5 years before that with a bunch of guys. Then they threw some stones at the Redcoats and they killed him. So they said that was a shot heard around the world. But the important part about it is that we were there from the beginning. And as long as our children do not see ourselves in positive roles, they will not want to go to school. As long as when I went to school 100 years ago, George Washington stared down from the wall at all of us, and he was a slaveholder. But if, in fact, we can start in kindergarten teaching these youngsters who we are, they, I believe, will say, hey, we had part of it. I'm going to stay in school. And that's why we need to have this incorporated into every single semester, not just in February, not just in black schools. I think it'll have a sea change in the minds of young people if, in fact, they are taught the truth about everything. And it's up to us to make sure that happens. When I say it's up to us, black legislators, black sororities, black fraternities, and all of the rest of them need to stand up and say, this must be done. It's a law of the state of New Jersey. It's a law in Illinois. I went to Illinois. It was passed in Illinois. It's in New York. We need to have black folks to stand up and say, this is the law, and we demand that it be taught.
But now, you know, when I was reading about this,
Hello? Yeah, just for 1 minute. We have to take a break right now. We will be right back with you, Anne, with
okay,
you.
Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm. You, Byron. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back here on GoPro Radio Network. I'm Kay Thompson.
Hi, this is Sarah Flounders.
And I'm Nana Cole.
Talking about 20 years of resistance of the International Action Center.
And also a birthday party to celebrate Ramsey Clark's 85th birthday
at Riverside Church, a dinner and evening on Saturday, January 12th.
And that's in Harlem's New York City.
Donations, tickets at iacenter.org. That's iacenter.org.
Or call 212-633-6646.
Support resistance.
And folks, you're not just contributing to a great international dinner or an even a wonderful event with friends and colleagues. You're contributing to the continuation of a people's movement for social justice and change, real change.
We can't do it without you. Every penny helps us continue.
So purchase your tickets today at www.iacenter.org.
Grassroots struggle. Resistance. Fight the power.
Okay, we are back. Kay Thompson live here on GoPro Radio Network. BW Moving Images located here in Jersey City with Wayne Gilman, news director, I should say former, WIBBLS Radio.
Right.
Okay, soon to be on the air again. Aren't you, Wayne?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
I'm tired of teaching, no, I shouldn't
say. Yes, you are.
I've become somewhat attached to the kids.
I'm tired of you being tired.
Tired, yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then Byron. Who is the author of his own show, The Byron Saunders Experience, historian, cultural historian. One of the
Bill Payne is back again. My phone.
I know we haven't gotten to you yet. Bill Payne, who is the legislator who wrote the Amistad legislation, and
well,
I like that.
He's still active in the assembly, right? Assemblyman Payne.
No, I'm not in the assembly now. I'm a commissioner with the Amistad Commission in New Jersey,
okay.
And I'm with the county of Essex, deputy chief of staff for the county.
And it's
that
the Amistad legislation has been passed
because
it really says, am I right, Bill, that history and that history, African-American history, must be taught in the state of New Jersey. Is that right, Bill?
New Jersey, yes. Wait, no. It must be not only black history, it must be incorporated into U.S. history, the curriculum.
U.S. history, there must be a thread that goes through when you teach New Jersey history. You must integrate it with the African-American history or black history.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That's what they're talking about, so that children know that what happened at a certain time. But I was when I was looking at this, it said that in 2012, the Amistad had a curriculum development summer institute. I never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone else hear about that institute that they had in 2012? Oh. It was given by the Department of Education.
We've had it for several years now. It's thought that we have an institute every summer, which we have the teachers that come and are trained in this whole AMIS stuff and taught the curriculum, et cetera. There's a website. I guess you probably know about that. There's a website that people can go to and get it. Mm-hmm. The reason why people don't know about it is that we have been fighting for years to get the support for this. No one wants to educate black people that we were there at the beginning of this. No one wants to tell black youngsters that we fought in the Civil War, that we were there as well. We didn't just stand on the sidelines. No one wants us to know that. So, therefore, we need to have people who are willing to stand up in the legislature, as I did, and we got other people to do it, too, when we passed this legislation. I went to Chicago and Illinois, and they also have an Amistad commission out there because I went out there and told them about it. But what has to happen is that people have to be willing to take a risk to stand up. Many people are afraid to stand up, especially if they're in the legislature, because they're worried about whether they're going to get reelected, whether or not they're going to make the white man angry, whether or not they're going to be able to come back again. I think people should be willing to stand up and do what they believe unto thine own self be true. And as long as people are not willing to stand up and fight for the truth, then we're going to continue to have this struggle. I'm fighting every single day to try to get funding for this thing, and I think that if every sorority, every fraternity, every church and whatnot would let it be known, number one, the legislators down there, that we want this done, let the governor know it. But if we're silent about it, it won't happen. The law is on the books. But we need to have more than Bill Payne and few other crazy people yelling about it.
The law is on the books, and that's right. Why I was wondering, who are the people who are on this commission? And because it's, they also stated that the guides from the people from the commission would act as guides with the textbook publishers to make sure that things were included, but it's not happening.
Oh, absolutely. But you have the State Department of Education has to stand behind this. The State Department of Education, as it did with the Holocaust Commission, et cetera. And the only way that that's going to happen, I've talked to this fellow, Surf, who's the Commissioner of Education now in New Jersey.
Yes, yes.
Talked to him about Amistad and trying to get them to put that on the front burner. No, Surf, let me just tell you, interesting. I told Surf that we have to make sure that this is implemented. He said the Amistad curriculum is the best thing that ever happened. And he said, as a matter of fact, my son teaches in Florida, and my son, I've gotten the Amistad curriculum for him. He's teaching it in Florida. The question then, sir, is why is it not being implemented throughout the state of New Jersey? Well,
New Jersey, absolutely.
No pressure. And that's why I'm calling upon everybody listening to contact every single Department of Education, every single Board of Education. It's the law of the state of New Jersey. Why isn't it being taught? We demand that it be taught, and it will be taught. But if we're silent on it, nothing's going to happen.
Right. I just wanted to know whether or not if you've talked to the governor personally about that and what is his position on the program.
Absolutely. I have absolutely talked to the governor about it personally. And he, as a matter of fact, I was with the governor at Ron Christian's church, or Christian Love Baptist Church, some months ago, at which time I said, you know, governor, you told me that you would make sure that Amistad was implemented. Brett Schundler was the commissioner of education in the state of New Jersey early on in Chris Christie's term.
Yeah.
Brett Schundler, I finally convinced him that he was going to make sure this happened. Unfortunately, Brett Schundler was accused of causing the state of New Jersey to lose $400 million. Remember that?
Brett Schundler and Chris Christie and the governor.
Oh, okay.
Right. So what happened was Christie fired him. I had Brett Schundler just at the point where he was going to implement this. I told the governor about it.
Yeah.
The governor got on the phone. He called this new commission we have, Surf, and told him, Bill Payne is here with me right now. I want you to talk to him. I want you to begin to implement this. Here, take the phone. I got the phone from Surf, and he came up with a lot of gobbledygook. I said, but the governor stands behind this, and we need to begin implementing it. He said, I will, and that's happening. I talked to our executive director today. She told me they have given her additional staff, but there's not the kind of support behind it that we need. Again, we need to hear from people in our community that says We know it's the law of New Jersey. We need to have you to implement it.
Is there a special month? They always have the Holocaust at a special time. And I was wondering if something could be put into the NJEA journals to really make, say, this is the month that we celebrate Amistad, and starting now we will continue to do this right through. I haven't really seen too much in the NJEA journals in their review books.
You know, Jackie Gradington, who's now, she's the NJEA, I believe, and she's the African-American woman who was, I think, vice president, whatever it is. I met with her recently, and Jackie Gradington, Jackie Gradington is now going to take that up with the NJEA here in New Jersey, and I think she's on a national level now. So she has said, but she has said, but again, the members of NJEA, others who know about it, need, again, to put the kind of pressure on these folks to let them know that we know about it. We're silent about it. They're not going to do anything about it.
It has to, and you know, another thing, you have it just for the high school, and it needs to, it could be tweaked so that
it can come
down into the elementary and the middle schools. And I'm sure that just the way we study Black history and whatnot during the month of February, that Amistad curriculum could be tweaked so that there would be something that the elementary teachers and the middle school teachers could use. And I think that would really bring it to the fore also.
Okay, Commissioner Byron, Payne, I have something that I want you to consider. I ran the Historical Society for 8 years. My job was to preserve the 2.5 million people of Queens history. And what I discovered when I walked in there as CEO was that deep within the repository and the archival collection of most of the historical societies across the city of New York, there was a lack of any archival information relative to African Americans on a community level. And a historian goes to write a book about the history of a community. It starts with historical society.
Right.
You need to go to the legislature and say to them, we will restrict funding to historical preservation if indeed your historical societies and archival collections are lacking in color, people of color, or ethnic origin.
Wonderful.
Well, may I interject something right here?
Once I began I can share this with you. Once I began to have a collection of the history of African Americans in the borough of Queens, New York City, and if you know anything about Queens, the location of the Historical Society is at the Kingsland Homestead in downtown Flushing, and Flushing today is the second largest Asian community in the city of New York.
Wow.
My board of directors, when that started to happen, you need to engage this community because this transition is going to keep moving forward. And ultimately, it began to set in that, yes, they have been collecting history of each one of those ethnic groups in that community. But I'm telling you, you're going to find a tremendous amount of resistance because a lot of people are going to say, well, where is the history? I can't find it.
But we have a lot of history here in New Jersey at the Historical Society, because in 1997 I was reading that the New Jersey Historical Commission produced the New Jersey African American History Curriculum Guide for grades 9 through 12. That was in 1997. New Jersey Historical Society. And Professor Clement Price was one of the people helping them do that.
Yeah.
There's a tremendous guide that's already available that they could, that they could use. Yeah. Were you aware of that?
Yes, and what has to happen is that the legislature has to be able to provide assistance and guidance from the top down to the bottom up so that those organizations that are preserving the history have an incentive to maintain and manage a proper archival collection of people of color.
You know, what I've tried to do over the past 10 years or 15 years is to make sure that people understand that what we're talking about is the history of African Americans as part of an integral part of U.S. history. So
US
that
history,
we don't
yeah.
have the February, that when February comes along, everything black comes out, and you get people get paid to go to suburban white communities to talk about black people. And, you know, it became a cottage industry where yeah. people say, oh, my God, if February's coming. So Livingston, New Jersey, or whatever, would get some prominent black person to come up there and talk black. And when I introduced this legislation in 1998, I have to tell you that I was visited by some rather prominent black so-called historians who told me that I was upsetting the apple cart, number one. And number two, Payne, they are not going to let you do that. And I said, who's they? I said, why are you upsetting the apple cart? Well, we already get they allocate $50,000 a year now, the day, meaning the state, that we're doing this. I said, but that's for black people. And the only time they do it is in February. And you guys are the ones that they hire to come up there and give a speech, a lecture, and so on. So this destroyed that industry. If, in fact, we're able to teach, if a kid opens up a textbook in high school or even in first grade and learns about the role that blacks played during the Civil War, learns about Dr. Daniel Hale Williams when they're learning about the medicine, when they learn about, if, in fact, in the same textbooks or in the same curriculum, these youngsters are learning about that, then we don't need to have these people in the cottage industry going up to Livingston and making money to talk about black folks.
Okay.
And I don't want this relegated to just black schools only.
Right. We do have to take a break. Stay with us, you vote, both of you, Ann and Bill and Byron and Wayne. This is wonderful. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Kay Thompson Live on GoPro Radio Network. Be right back.
Hi, this is Sarah Flounders.
And I'm Nana Soul.
Talking about 20 years of resistance of the International Action Center.
And also a birthday party to celebrate Ramsey Clark, 86th birthday.
At Riverside Church, a dinner and evening on Saturday, January 12th.
And that's in Harlem's New York City.
Donations, tickets at iacenter.org. That's iacenter.org.
Or call 212-633-6646.
Support resistance.
And folks, you're not just contributing to a great international dinner or an even a wonderful event with friends and colleagues. You're contributing to the continuation of a people's movement for social justice and change, real change.
We can't do it without you. Every penny helps us continue.
So purchase your tickets today at www.iacenter.org.
Grassroots struggle. Resistance. Fight the power.
Okay, we are back. Kay Thompson Live here on GoPro Radio Network, and I'm with Wayne Gilman, former news director from WLIB-BLS, and Byron Saunders, who is from the BCS experience. GoPro Radio Network right here on BW Black Wax Moving Images, and also Ann Alexander, who is a teacher and a mediator, by the way, in New Jersey, and volunteer teacher and one extraordinary educator. And Bill Payne, who wrote the legislation for the Amistad, you know, legislation, which is so important. When I was teaching, you know, and I had to teach, I was an English major, history minor. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading some of the history books, and I always objected to them because of the fact that they weren't truthful. They were here that we were reading things in the history books about the slaves being happy and free and dancing all day.
Yes.
I was so annoyed with that kind of nonsense, you know, so I put my own spin to it.
Right.
You know, because I was doing my own, you know, research
you
and whatnot. Yeah,
you
I had to.
Yeah, because I understand the state.
How are you
going to
be happy and be a slave?
No, please.
Yeah, come on, you know.
You know, I don't even want to go there or say something that's probably it's not relevant to the conversation.
You know, good history lesson for these kids who will not be still. And I'm talking about, you know, the little kids as durable as they are.
Right.
They have to do something that's interactive.
You know,
and I maintain that introducing the school system to producing of radio and television broadcasting, you know, we got the attention of the students and they acted out. They acted out of the Underground Railroad. By the way, Bill Katz, who was on about 3 weeks ago with Wanda Payne talking education, wants to tell us about the Underground Railroad that went south.
Not only that,
he is coming in a couple of weeks, and we all know Bill Katz.
I was going to say New Jersey played a very
significant role, of course,
in the Underground Railroad. People know about
that. Well, get to this. and all of you listen, Bill, Ann, Byron,
yes.
Roots was on. DET ran for about 3 or 4 days. We sat there and looked at it and absorbed it. And then I'm looking at this, and they were talking about a place called Tazewell County. And my ears perked up. I said, Tazewell County. Then they said, Tazewell. And I said, oh, you know, where is Tazewell County? Yeah. That's where the Thompsons are from.
In New Jersey?
Virginia. Oh, Virginia. Tazewell County in Virginia, in this little teeny town called Tazewell, up at the mountain.
Mm.
One stoplight. Well, they maybe they have three now. But that's where the Thompsons came from. Also, Jamestown. Where is that? Jamestown. Right on the river.
Wow. Yeah.
So really, some absolutely amazing. If you look up your history, you'll find that that Jamestown port of entry for bringing the slaves from Africa, that was one of the main ports of entry,
right.
I would say.
You know, one of the...
We don't call them slaves. They're enslaved people. We were not slaves. We were enslaved. There's a difference. The slave is something born and know. We were enslaved by conquerors, et cetera, okay? So, slave is a rather derogatory term. We were enslaved. Dr. Colin Palmer, you may know, that Princeton and also Schomburg made it clear that we were not, don't call us slaves, we're enslaved people. But let me tell you something. The reason why some of us went to school when they had this book, Little Black Sambo. I don't know if any of you guys did or not. When I was in school, there was Little Black Sambo, Little Black Mumbo Jumbo, et cetera, et cetera. The mother and the father and lived in a jungle. But juxtaposed against them was Dick and Jane and Spot, a beautiful white family lived on tree-lined streets. I went to school in Belleville, New Jersey, where there's only one black girl in my class, Bob Curvin's sister Irma. So when the teacher told the story of Little Black Sambo and held up the book with Little Black Sambo, all the kids turned around and, giggled and laughed at Bill Payne and Irma. But then when she talked about Dick, Jane, and Spot, how wonderful it was, it started in kindergarten or first grade. And after that, it was Old Black Joe. And after that, it was the slaves with pickaninnies, et cetera. So the seeds of self-doubt, segregation begins in kindergarten or first grade. What I have said with Amistad is that you will no longer you subject black kids or white kids to that foolishness, but you will begin teaching positive things from kindergarten on. Now, people say, well, how do you teach the truth in kindergarten? The same way they taught George Washington never told a lie to me when I was in kindergarten. They chopped down a cherry tree. Then they can teach the truth starting then. And kids, what happens is that I talked a little while ago about Dr. Daniel Hill, Dr. Drew and Dr. Daniel Hill, with the blood plasma, et cetera, et cetera. And if our children know that there are people like Dr. Charles Drew and like Dr. Daniel Williams and not just people like Louis Pasteur and so on and so, then our children will begin to say, you know what, I can do that too, starting in kindergarten, first, second, third grade. So that's what Amistad is about, and that's why it needs to be taught in mixed grade. White kids need to know that their grandfather might have died if it wasn't for the blood plasma he got during the Second World War that came out of the mind of Dr. Charles Drew. So that's why it has to be incorporated.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bill Payne. And need to do more updates on, where the Amistad legislation, is at a certain point, because I want to give more coverage to that, because it's extremely important that we know our...
It should be a national program.
Yeah, it has to be. Thank you.
And they'll try to bring it down to the lower grades.
That's right.
I was going to commend to his attention the call of Dennis Walcott in New York, the Board of Education.
Let me close this out, and then we can go into our next segment. Ann Alexander, thank you very much. You're going to be back again.
Thank you.
Okay. And thank you, Bill Payne. You're going to be back again, we hope. Okay.
Okay. You have the is this the 105th anniversary of the so-called Emancipation Proclamation?
We're going to be talking about that in just a minute. So, you want to hang around and all right, we're going to be talking about the Emancipation Proclamation. Okay. So, thank you. We'll have you back again. Okay.
All righty.
Okay. Good information. I remember when Bill was, writing and getting this all together. I was instrumental in that, by the way.
Kay, one of the things that we are confronted with, not just about the history itself, but the current contemporary news that's being presented that's always being editorialized so that even the story that happens yesterday has already been tainted.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost that edge of what journalism is really all about. And so when you go back to recount the historic moment, all of a sudden that becomes so editorialized, so marginalized,
so true.
That the story doesn't even exist
and
as true
and
anymore.
And I tell you, it's by design. I mean, that's one of the things that's sad.
We all know.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we years ago at WLIB might have been the template for bringing about an advocacy reporting role, which I thought that was important. But what this guy at Fox has done is taken that template, twisted it to their advantage. So now we have a situation where it's black against white, Republican against Democrat.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's all about ratings. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with informing the public. And they will do certain things just to annoy the other side without trying to bring about a balance, you know.
But you know what's so important now? I found that when we were doing news,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you were doing news, you know, and I was doing news with what's his face. You know, it was okay.
Right.
But the point is, you know, we were doing like it was almost like news bites, which it was, you know, little news bites. The only way we could get into depth with a story was through talk radio.
Right.
Talk radio became so important, you know, to our community. You know, we were getting on the nerves of the NYPD.
Right.
Because, in fact, not only did we know about the Tawana Brawler story, but we kept that going.
But
we
look
kept
what they were
going.
Doing to the community.
That's right. And then the Amadou Diallo killing.
Right.
And then the, what's that, Eleanor Bumpers killing. Yusuf Hawkins. You name it. And we refused to let them be just news bites. The Central Park Joggers.
Mm-hmm. Central Park Joggers.
Yeah, Pat Anna exactly. Phillips on. The reporter from CBS who also went to ABC. We have another caller right away. You are on there. I want to talk also about Sophia Stewart. She's going through that same thing. Mm-hmm. Nobody's believing her.
Right.
That she is as talented as she is. We're going to keep that story going. You're on the air. We have another caller? We have you are on the air. Okay, we have lost. We have a caller. Let's try it again. We have a caller. Hello, you're on the air. Okay, what? No caller.
Okay,
all right. But anyway, so what we're doing is, for instance, you know, if you did the news bites, you know, Byron, you know, it wouldn't have the same punch.
No, yes,
because there's so much that you have to bring to this, you know, so much of our personal experiences.
Yeah. Right.
You know, just living through that era, which was really awful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with you, with this information, I mean, we're walking history books.
We are, literally.
You know, we know more about the stories than was in the paper. How much do we know about the Tawana Brawley story?
Oh, everything.
That was broken. Who came on my show?
Sonny Carson.
Sonny Carson.
Yeah, he was the one who broke the story.
Yeah, and then Al came along, there's so much more to that.
Yeah, right,
yeah, I'm going to include this all in the book, really.
You need to. I mean, because when you look now at what goes on in New York has become so gentrified.
Mm.
I mean, I was in Brooklyn the other night just to see my dad, and I am amazed going through Williamsburg and Greenpoint and even Bed-Stuy. I mean, it looks like Lower Manhattan.
Mm.
You know, I remember, I'm old enough to say that I remember the riots in the 1960s that we had along Fulton Street, stores being burned down, you know. And when I see what we're doing today in terms of trying to preserve our history and what Commissioner Payne had brought out in terms of his personal effort, I think it's so important.
Yes,
we have no need to be embracing each other in the street, calling each other the N-word.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that just, it still bothers me. You know, I know in their minds it's a word of endearment. But if they knew the history of the word, they wouldn't repeat it.
Yeah, I have a problem with that also. A lot of people have been complaining about the new movie, Django. Is it Django?
Yeah,
with Jamie Foxx. I have to tell people, you don't punish the actor.
It's a period piece.
You know,
but
it's a period piece, but you know, you just don't punish the actor. This is history. This is what happened during that particular time, or you know, a story about what happened.
Right,
and, you know,
exactly.
If that's the movies, let's not get it mixed up. You know, that is the movies. I want to tell you about another thing. Let me see the Bob Marley. Oh, I was going to mention that, but I'd like to say hello to Robin Savage down there in Maryland. She was one of my students in the Thompson Dance Studio years ago. And when she told me how old she was, and I thought about how old I was, I said, good Lord. But I want to say hello to Robin down in Maryland, listening in. And also Malachi Majestic out there in Missouri, listening in.
Oh,
Wow. He is the young man, my grandson, who has a new rappers company. And he is now involved, you know, getting other new rappers. And what they do is battle rap.
Battle rap. Okay.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
He says, I said, well, why are you doing battle rap? Because that's something I'd never heard of until he told me about it, you know. Come to find out that, you know, he's getting his young artists. He said, so they won't, you know, be fighting and killing and knifing each other.
That's
why not do?
Exactly.
It's just like signifying, what we used to call signifying.
Yeah,
and I said, great. I said, you know that that can be involved, you can involve the school system in that because a lot of kids are rapping.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You know, why don't you enjoy and, you know, create that into a creative program, you know, and you're going to get the kids where they are.
Or even try to get it on TV if possible.
Yes, of course. You know, listen, we have to go for
a break.
We'll be right back. Are you guys going to stay here?
Certainly.
Good. You can't get out anyway. The door's locked.
Oh, all right.
Be right back, everyone. Kay Thompson Live. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Sarah Flounders.
And I'm Nana Soul.
Talking about 20 years of resistance of the International Action Center.
And also a birthday party to celebrate Ramsey Clark, 85th birthday.
At Riverside Church, a dinner and evening on Saturday, January 12th.
And that's in Harlem's New York City.
Donations, tickets at iacenter.org. That's iacenter.org.
Or call 212-633-6646.
Support resistance.
And folks, you're not just contributing to a great international dinner or an even a wonderful event with friends and colleagues. You're contributing to the continuation of a people's movement for social justice and change, real change.
We can't do it without you. Every penny helps us continue.
So purchase your tickets today at www.iacenter.org.
Grassroots struggle. Resistance. Fight the power.
We're back. And we are back, everyone. Kay Thomas alive. Byron Saunders is here. Wayne Gilman is here.
I'm speechless.
Bill Payne is, Bill Payne is calling back. He has something else to say. I forgot. I mentioned to him that we wanted to talk about the Emancipation Proclamation, and I'm going to have Ann Alexander back another day also.
Okay.
So has he called in yet? He is calling in. So we can find out a little bit more about the Emancipation Proclamation.
All right.
So, you know, a lot of people don't even know what it was for or what happened with it. And
it
I also
started with the Watch Night Service. That's why we go to church.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It's because the Watch Night Service was the day, Christmas Eve, going to church, awaiting January the 1st when the Emancipation Proclamation became law. That's why we have Watch Night Service.
Yeah, okay.
So we
Tell me about the Watch Night Service.
Well, the people went to the church. They congregated at the church waiting for the Emancipation Proclamation
to become
law. So that's why we celebrated. Now, we've kind of forgotten some of that at our churches now.
Yeah.
But the tradition has held.
And
we go to church for that moment to celebrate a new year, but it was originally began to celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation.
If I knew that, I've forgotten it.
It's almost like June.
Juneteenth. Wow. We're waiting for Bill Payne, former Assemblyman Bill Payne, to call back because he does have.
Hello. Are you there? Yeah, Bill Payne is here.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to have to make our sentences, our talks a little bit shorter so we can get other, you know, voices here. So, but tell us, give us a synopsis of the Emancipation Proclamation, Bill.
Well, very briefly, I think that people need to, we should all understand that the Emancipation Proclamation really did not free anybody initially, that Abe Lincoln was not a great emancipator, but as a matter of fact, Abe Lincoln did say that if in fact he could save the Union, his primary reason was to try to save the Union.
Yeah.
If he could save the Union and keep people enslaved, it was all right with him. He was not a one who was necessarily in favor of blacks and whites living together. As a matter of fact, he indicated that he didn't think it was natural for blacks and whites to live together, and suggested to five prominent black leaders at some point that they should get to their people and get their people to agree to move to Central America. That it was not natural, and that would solve the problem. That was one of his solutions.
Did he do the Emancipation Proclamation? Why did he do that?
Well, that was a military thing. It was a in order to keep the Union from falling separating. He what he did was he issued to the Confederate States. He said that he proposed a to emancipate Africans in the Confederate areas. The caveat though was that the Confederate States would retain slavery, providing they complied to return to the Union by January 1, 1863.
So he really.
However, if the war had ended before then, they would lose this thing. So if the Southern states had said, okay, we'll end the war, they could have kept the slaves, which was the first proclamation that he did. He said by January 1, 1863, if you guys in the South stop fighting, then you can keep the slaves. They didn't do it, and that's why he issued the second Emancipation Proclamation. And he's even said he said, listen, we didn't go to war to put down slavery, but to put the flag back. So he said I never could have gotten enough votes to send me back to the White House if people had supposed I would try to use my power to upset slavery. Slavery was not his primary thing, and I think people need to understand that. That
because of the great emancipator, is that what you're saying?
Oh, he's called the great emancipator. I think Lerone Bennett years ago wrote something he called he was forced to become the great emancipator. It was really a military document, you know, and it was more of a military document than a call for justice. You know.
Well, you know, we're seeing another example of how history is being twisted. You know,
absolutely.
That he was one of the great statesmen who basically provided a balance, you know, and led this country to a united
and
front.
And started
you
the
know.
Movement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? And one would think that. But, you know, I've heard this story before, and I'm not questioning it when I say story. But, I mean, is that... If,
listen,
you know, just,
look to who wrote it.
That's the
you know,
that's
look
the
to who
exactly.
wrote it, okay?
That's it.
You know?
It requires reason.
And in context, very much like the Civil Rights Act of 64, the Voting Rights Act, Johnson had to sign it. He wasn't in
and
favor.
He wasn't, exactly.
He had to do it,
Right.
And ultimately, gone up in fire.
That's right. And then once again, as it had to be recertified every so often, look at the battle lines that were still established, like if we are still fighting the Civil War.
Well, 40
War.
Years
yeah.
later,
that's
I mean,
right.
the thing is, we have a black president.
And even that
and
was
still,
questioned this year
right.
with the Voting Rights Act coming under fire
right.
for certain provisions, which were about certifying southern states who had to go through federal guidelines for redistricting and, of course, for the so-called the voting problems that we had with the literacy laws and all that stuff. That was
and
being,
how does this
again.
Impact on the NRA?
Well, it impacts...
The National Rifle Association.
Believe it or not, this whole fiscal cliff thing is a smoke and mirror game because it's more about cutting the defense budget. And when you cut the defense budget and stop war, stop the machinery that makes war, you will shut down gun manufacturers who are in bed with the Defense Department.
Thank you.
Right.
Big bucks.
And that has traditionally has also fed fueled this economy.
Do you,
you
think
know, but,
that police departments got this from a station out of Atlanta, by the way, that the police department should demand that policemen go through mental health tests?
Absolutely.
Because they're carrying guns.
Yeah.
And because there's so many shootings, you know.
One would think that level of scrutiny is on the way now.
Yeah.
You know, you would think it's something that...
The incident this year that happened at the Empire State Building proved that the training failed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because absolutely failed the citizenry because you're supposed to go through that training process being able to identify the perpetrator.
Uh-huh.
And there were the shots that were fired were from the policemen who injured those standing by and at that scene.
Ms. Thompson.
Yes.
Let me just make one last point, please, about this great emancipator, if I may. I just want to point out that in a letter that Lincoln wrote to Horace Greeley, who was the New York Tribune editor, in August of 1862, he states, my paramount object in this struggle is to save the Union, and is not either to save or destroy slavery. If I could save the Union without freeing any slave, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing all the slaves, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing some and leaving others alone, I would also do that. What I do about slavery and the colored race, I do because I believe it helps to save the Union. Wow. So that's something that needs to be.
Not only were you right about that, because Andrew, after the assassination, Andrew Johnson did almost everything he possibly could to return the South back to its
original. Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
To
be continued, Bill. To be continued.
Certainly.
Kay Thompson live here on GoPro Radio Next Network. Thanks to Ty. Thanks to Shauna. Thanks to Ayana. Thanks to Byron. Thanks to Wayne. Thanks to Bill. Thanks to Ann. Thanks to Lisa. Thanks to Eric. Should I go on and on and on? Thanks to me.
I think we're out of time.
Listen, we are out of time. Thank you, guys.
Certainly. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.